Good morning. Today we are studying in Revelation part 1. We're in lesson 6 in chapter 2 verses 18 through 29, and this is the letter sent by Jesus to the church at Thyatira. So we will begin our study today in prayer. Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to teach each of us as we study your precious word. Thank you, Father, that you had it written down for us today. We just praise you, Father, for this opportunity and give you all the honor and all the glory. And I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen. As we have been studying previously, we have learned that our study, the theme of the book of Revelation, is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And it was given by God to Jesus, and Jesus gave it to an angel, and the angel gave it to John, and he was told to write it down. So, we are going to look back there. Remember, there are seven churches and seven letters were sent. And we have been studying about these churches. And as we've studied, we have learned of three churches already that the letters were sent to. Ephesus, the loveless church. It had the correct doctrine and word, but it abandoned its first love. And then the next letter was sent to a refined church, Smyrna, and it had been suffering and went through a lot of tribulation, but was faithful. And then we studied last week, the Church of Pergamon. And we learned that Pergamon was a compromising church. It was worldly. And some there held fast to false teachings. And some held fast to Jesus' name and to his faith. So today we're going to start by looking at the next church and the letter, and it's being sent to the church at Thyatira. Now, this church, Thyatira, was about 55 miles northeast of Smyrna, and it was about 40 miles southeast of Pergamon. And it was on the road from Pergamon to Sardis and Laodicea. At this church in the book of Acts, it talks about Lydia, and Lydia was the seller of purple in Philippi when Paul went there, and she was from Thyatira. So Acts 16, and I will read those verses that Paul wrote about Lydia in verses chapter 16 of Acts, verse 14 and 15. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household had been baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and stay." And she prevailed with us. So here we see that there was one named Lydia that was from Thyatira. And the city was known for its purple dye, and it had a prosperous trade in purple cloth. So you can see how that Lydia, she was a maker of this cloth using the purple dye that was there in the city of Thyatira. Also, Thyatira was a trade for brass working. They made many things of brass, and it was also noted for worshiping the false god Apollo and other gods. So as we read through now, we're going to see what the message was that Jesus himself sent to the church at Thyatira. So in chapter 2, starting at verse 18, I'm going to read 18 through 29. This is the message. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has the eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches who know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who do not or have not known the depths of Satan, as they call them, I place no burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces. As I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give the morning star, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now here, first, we want to see the description of Jesus. In the beginning of this, we see that he is called the Son of God, and that he has eyes like a flame of fire, and they see all. Jesus sees everything, even in the hearts and the minds of everyone. And he has feet like burnished bronze or fine brass. And it's also used in chapter 1, verse 15. It's signifying the brilliance of the burnished bronze. And he has brilliance and judgment, and they are symbolized in this description of who Jesus is. Now, we want to look, after we see this description of Jesus, of who he is, we go to the commendation that the letter of Jesus is to the church here in Thyatira. And here he talks, let's look at verse 19. I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than the first. So he I'll get it right in a minute. He recommends them and brings them commendation for their deeds, for their works, for what they are doing. That he is saying that your deeds of late are even more than they were at the first. So then he says that he sees the church in their love. So that is a great commendation. And then he says, you are faithful, dependable, and reliable. So I commend you for your faith, for your deeds, for your love, and for your service, because you are serving me in faith and love, and you produce service and perseverance. Now then, he goes on to say, I commend you in your perseverance, or your endurance, that you are continuing in all of this, that you're not backing off from it, this perseverance. You're growing in your grace and deeds. And it's, you're, in other words, you're maturing, and that's what he is recommending them for. But as he recommends them for all of this, then he must reprove them, because he says now in the next verses, in verse 20, but I have this against you. So he is saying, even though you are faithful in your love, in your perseverance, in your deeds, and they're even greater than they were at first, I have some things against you. And those things are that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, a false prophetess and a teacher. And also I have against you false worshiping, food sacrificed to idols, bringing immorality, as that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality, and they eat things sacrificed to idols. So here he is saying to them that I have this against you, even though you're carrying out many things of obedience, there's some things that I have against you. And he's speaking now about Jezebel. Now, as we read this, you see that they are tolerating the woman Jezebel, who is a false prophetess. Now, this could refer back to the Jezebel that was in the book of Kings, 1st and 2nd Kings. You know, Ahaz the king married a woman named Jezebel, and she was very false in her worship. She worshiped not Jesus, but she worshiped all the other gods. And she was a prophetess, but all of her prophetessing was false. And she taught everything falsely, and everything in her life was immoral. So the majority here of the church at Thyatira was tolerating this false teaching and sin. But some of them in Pergamon had been lured by false teachings. And it seems that the teachings here in Thyatira was more blatant than the seductive teaching in Pergamon. but it's taking place now in the church, and the church is tolerating it. Now, Ahab was the king of Israel, and he married a woman not of Israel, and Jezebel was the daughter of the king of Sion, and she brought Baal worship into Israel, and she tried to drive out of Israel all true worshipers of God. She even killed his prophets. But when she swore about killing Elijah, God's prophet, she actually spoke of her own death, and God said that the dogs would eat her remains, and that's exactly what happened. So let's look at some, going from that, and look at some scripture so that we can see how this is comparing to this immorality that is taking place in Thyatira. If you go to 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter 6, verses 15 through 20, and I will read those because this is about whenever you are practicing immorality. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So, here we see that he is saying that you should use your body that is a member of Christ to glorify him by not taking part in all of the sins of immorality. And they were sacrificing even the eating of the food that was sacrificed to false worshipers, false gods. So the church was tolerating this. So that's what he is speaking to them about, that they need to quit allowing these things to take place. They shouldn't allow it. Now let's look at Hebrews 13. Verse 4, and we see the writer here says that in verse 4, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled, for fornicators and adulterers God will judge. So those who commit immorality are going to be judged by God. Now, also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles, who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. So this is another warning that Paul in the New Testament was giving to the Thessalonians. And this applies also to this church here, because they were performing all these sexual acts, all these things of immorality. And Jesus was writing this letter to the church saying that they should remove that out of the church and not allow it. So God is the avenger, and he desires sanctification in the church for the people of the church. Now, there are a lot of scriptures that tell us about the wickedness and how that they will be destroyed and in the end. In Psalm 73, in 1 Corinthians 6, in Romans 1, we learn that immorality is sin against one's own body. And some horrible diseases are transmitted by immorality. And then Proverbs 6 and 7, these chapters tell how a harlot, adulteress like the one of Thyatira, leads men into death. It's a trap, a seductive trap, and these men destroy themselves. And then we see here that they are to take heed. Now let's look at the warnings that were given in verse 21 and 23 to the church from the letter of Jesus. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. So, what then do we see in repent? What is repent about? Repent, the word means to change one's mind, to turn and go in a different direction. And here in Matthew, I want to read Matthew 3, 1 through 8. And here it's talking about a fruit of repentance. I'll start with verse 1. Now, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is the one referred to by Isaiah the prophet when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make ready the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John himself had a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. And then Jerusalem was going out to him, and all Judea and all the district around the Jordan. And they were being baptized by him in the Jordan River as they confessed their sins. And when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruit in keeping with repentance. So here we see in these verses that there is fruit of repentance. In other words, repentance shows in action. And that's what John the Baptist, when he came teaching and preaching the word, he was saying that they needed to repent. And by repenting, they would show an action. They would turn from the way that they were going and go in a different direction. Now, in this we see much about repentance from John, but let's look and see what Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 through 11. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation. But the sorrow of the world produces death. For behold, what earnestness this very thing, this godly sorrow, has produced in you. What indignation of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what longing, what zeal, what avenging of wrong. In everything you demonstrated yourselves to be innocent in the matter. So here Paul is saying that according to the will of God, you come before him in repentance, in sorrow, regretting, in other words, that you have done the wrong, that you have been against him. And if you come to him in that attitude, then it's a repentance without regret. He produces a repentance without regret, and that leads to salvation. When you come repenting and saying that you are sorrow. But then he goes on to say that the sorrow of the world produces death because they are not earnest in their repentance. So here we see in the scriptures that this letter that he is sending to the church in Thyatira, this same message goes out to them that they need to repent in sorrow and in truth and in honesty. And so now he has some promises that he is going to give to them as overcomers. And let's read the scriptures, verses 26 through 29 in the scripture here, so that we can see how that by their repentance and their overcoming that Christ is saying that he has a promise for them. Reading, starting with verse 26, he who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So let's look now at some scriptures and see what he is talking about when he says that those that overcome, those that repent, that he will give them the morning star. We just finished reading and studying in the book of Daniel. And here in the 12th chapter, in the 3rd verse, I'm going to read this scripture. Those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven, and those who lead the many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. So here, as we're looking at these verses, that they will become as their insight, their belief will bring them to shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those that lead many others will be like the stars forever and ever. Now let's look at 2 Peter and see what Peter says in chapter 1, verse 19. So we have the prophetic word made sure, to which you do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. Now then, let's look at Psalms 2, We want to find out what he is speaking about when he talks about that morning star. But Psalms 2, verses 7, 9 says, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as your inheritance, and the very ends of the earth as your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron, and you shall scatter them like earthenware. So he is saying to them, just as the scripture was written in Psalms, that he is going to give them the nations to rule over at his coming. And he says that you shall break them with a rod of iron and scatter them like earthenware. So God has all these promises written for these here now. He's written this letter to all the churches. He's speaking to Thyatira, but it's going out to the churches today. I, Jesus, in Revelation 22:16 says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches, that is plural. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. So here we see, at the very close in the last chapter of Revelation, that Jesus himself is that bright and morning star. So when he says, I will give him the morning star, he is saying that I will give myself to you as a reward for your overcoming. So, we the church today have the same promises that he is giving to these churches that he is sending the letters out to. We too need to heed his word, and we need to live out his word so that we can become overcomers and that we will receive Jesus as our reward. So we'll close our lesson today, and our next lesson that we will be on will be lesson 7 on the church at Sardis. So be much in prayer as we go into that study. But let us close today and give praise to God for his word. Father, we do give you praise and honor and glory for your precious word. Father, as you have taught through the letters that were sent from you to Jesus, to the angel, and given to John and told to write it down, we know that your word is speaking to us today. And I pray that you will remind us as we read and study. May it penetrate our minds, our heart, and our souls that we will overcome. And we know, Father, that we can overcome because Jesus overcame. Because he overcame, he brought salvation. And because of his death, burial, and resurrection, we too can overcome. And we just give you all the praise and honor and glory. And I pray if there's any that have never received Jesus, that today that they will submit themselves totally to Jesus and let him be Lord and Savior over their lives. I ask it now in the name of Jesus. Amen.